Hi, boys.
What's up, Connor?
Not much. How are you? It's so good to see you.
I'm good. You know, it's weird. Winter's a weird time because it's like 35 degrees today, and I'm like, oh, it's so warm out. I don't have to put on 5 jackets.
I know. Every winter, I actually always think that winter's going to be really bad because I have seasonal affective disorder, mm-hmm. And then winter comes and I actualize that what I do like about it is that it's very structured and you know where everyone is at all times.
Inside.
Yes. Everyone's inside. People are not going to Cancun.
Mm.
And like, I don't like that about the holidays and about summer where it's just like people are all over the world and I can't follow them.
Yeah, yeah.
That's too uncertain to me.
Fair enough, yeah. Nobody's shipping off in the middle of January.
No, everybody's just kind of here.
Yeah. Yeah, I like, I feel like especially the, I don't know, something about this year, the holidays like really dragged along too.
I know.
Like it felt like the longest holiday break of all time, but not in a way that I was like, oh, this is great. I was like, when are we going to get back to life?
No, totally. Like the last night of
Which
Ireland.
Which is more about me than the holidays, but.
I left Ireland with the same fervor that I think my ancestors did. you could not have put me on that plane fast enough. I swear to God. Like, cause I just am ready to go.
You said, get us out of here.
I said, I get why we left. We got to go.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was done. It was finished.
Fair enough. Should we talk about some boys clubs?
Okay. Yes, I saw a play yesterday, and okay. I saw a play called Cult of Love. So the Boys Club, I'm not sure what the Boys Club is. It's
people who like live theater.
Shane Lee Woodley, is that the Boys Club?
Okay, actors who transition to live
yes.
theater.
Actors who like give it a whirl, because like there's no way that they're getting a lot of money. I don't think she was paid a lot.
Yeah.
I don't think anyone was. I think everyone was there for the passion of the project, which makes the fact that her character was a homophobic Christian be like, Shailene, like Shailene, what about this role? Because she already like could be homophobic
she
Christian.
She has such an expansive career though. She went from playing Secret Life of an American Teenager,
correct,
where she was a child with a child, and then uh-huh. she was a child with cancer in The Fault in Our Stars, famously.
Yes.
One of her biggest roles.
One of my favorite songs, Not About Angels by Birdie.
What about, what
you know
about
that song?
Angels? Of course. Fault in Our Stars came out when I was like 15. Wait, like that was huge.
There's one line that I like in it, and like that my favorite part is, how unfair, it's just a luck. Like that one part. But the rest of it I don't really like. But that one part I would like keep going. That's how a song ends up in your top five, is
yeah,
that there's one part you
just
like.
Listen to the one part over and over again.
Smallest Man Who Ever Lived, yeah. Only the last minute and 38 seconds.
When she's really belting. Yeah, fair.
Resent by someone that wanted me dead.
So you're curious as to what brought Shailene to such a project?
Yes, I am. Because, well, her career, to your point, is very expansive, because then she was in that. And then
she's not afraid to take on a big role.
No, she's not afraid. And she kind of played that misunderstood mom on Big Little Lies.
Her second role as a mother.
And yeah, she's a mom. And then also kind of a young mom.
Yeah.
Kind of young. Not to bring up a woman's age, but a little young.
Yeah.
Or how old a mom should be. Not our business. But like, and then thirdly, she was in that Adam Driver movie, Ferrari, which was a period piece in Italy. The thing with her is she's really 2025 American. Like, she's hard to put her any...
Yeah.
She's
yeah.
not a period piece actor.
No, she's got a face that says Secret Life of an American
yes,
Teenager.
Yes, she is. Yeah. She's the yeah. moment, not forward or backwards. She's now.
She's the moment. I think so. That sounds right.
Because she would like, Ferrari. And it was just totally worked.
And you said Shailene.
It's like, Shailene, we can see through this.
Your name's Shailene.
It's like Adam Driver is giving, and like you are just kind of like a woman putting on an accent.
That's the second period piece they've had him in Italy in recent years, because he was also in House of Gucci.
Yes. It was I didn't see that.
It's
not. I didn't see it because of Lady Gaga.
It's skippable.
But she doesn't get my butt in the seat. You know.
Really?
Yeah, she just like doesn't do it. But Alexis, come back.
Not now.
Oh fuck.
Not now.
We're trying so
oh,
hard.
Oh man.
Personalized. That's fine.
Okay.
Are we okay with that?
Alexa, not now. Back to YouTube. It did go away. But I wonder if you can press not now with the where'd the remote go?
That's right. We have a gay guy in the kitchen managing things. That's when you know you've made it. Or okay, Jackson, you're out, right? You're gay on the internet.
Jackson, you're out. Okay.
Speaking of Big Little Lies, this
Come
is
on.
Monterey.
Come on.
Hey,
oh, my God.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Code switching.
I was so confident when I told you.
Okay. Well, I'll hold on to this, and we'll make sure. Everybody is really in on the process with us today.
Adam Driver, period piece. Method acting. Ferrari was an upsetting movie. I saw it when I had that thing where I could go every day to Alamo Draft House. I don't want to go there at all.
You were the only person who had the Alamo Draft House pass.
Yeah, here's the thing. Don't do that. I don't want to go there one time.
Isn't that the one that they have food?
Yes, but they all have food now. Everyone's trying to give you a chicken sandwich.
Which it's like, I don't want somebody interrupting the movie to say,
chicken sandwich.
No, like, totally. And it's like, we support workers. We support workers' rights, except for at the Alamo Draft
House.
It's
not their fault. It's the fault of whoever decided that we needed a business where we both ate a chicken sandwich and watched a movie.
But part of you is curious about the state of food service. Like, what led this person to be here? Like, why the draft? Like, what was wrong with every other restaurant that you ended up? Because now you're tipping over people. Like, you don't want that. No one's happy.
I don't think anybody working there is probably excited to be having to navigate a dark movie theater with multiple chicken sandwiches.
And we are pro labor rights. We are pro union.
It's true.
Except for the teachers union. Because I was almost, well, no, I was a teacher. I was a teacher and they were a pain in the ass. I was, can I say that? And I think they owe me money. I think they, every couple months, I'm like, I think I have a pension somewhere.
Wait,
but like,
speaking of owed money, as anybody, some of you listening might know, I played Division I college soccer. And I only bring this up to say that there's currently a lawsuit being finalized against the NCAA for any athlete that played between 2014 and 2019, which is when I was in school.
Sorry
to bring it up, but
we all were in school actually.
I was gonna say, I think we all were in school during that window, but anyway, because that overlaps with my 4 years, I might be entitled to some compensation.
Wait, that's really
which
exciting.
Would be awesome.
I am. Wait, what is it that it pertaining to?
Basically, because now they're paying college athletes now, so they're basically like, this is too big of a word for what it is, but it's sort of reparations type of like back pay essentially.
Totally. No, I hear you.
Yeah.
That's great.
I'm trying to get my bag too from the NCAA.
Did you fill out the form?
Well, I had to look up here's when my condition comes into play. Of course, my old name is on all this stuff. So like, I'm trying to figure out if they're going to be like, is this a scam? Or
your community needs a Harvey Milk. You guys need a Harvey Milk.
You're looking at him.
It might be you. No, but that ends so sad. But like, literally.
Yeah, well, I hope not all the way.
But it didn't have to.
Yeah, it didn't.
Yes, that was, you know, Dianne Feinstein found him. Do you know that?
Really?
Do you know who that is? That little old lady that was a senator right until her last day.
Oh my Christ, that's
they
right.
They were like propping her up with like kind of like sticks. She found him dead in City Hall. I watched a documentary recently called Harvey Weinstein, not Firestein, but it was from 1984, which is like 5 or 6 years after it happened. So it was like kind of fascinating because it was like, these are just like people in the 80s talking about, and like, was like right after, so I was like Googling everyone to see if they died or not, which is really sad, and we're not making fun of it, which is like a very sad thing, but it's interesting to watch a movie that was like
definitely
a documentary film at that time.
Well, speaking of queer history, I've been reading this this book about trans history by Leslie Feinberg called Transgender Warriors. Definitely recommend if anybody's interested in looking up that stuff. But it's been so like fascinating to read about, like, I don't know, all the examples of like gender expression and like transness throughout history, and every single time it's always a way for like the working class to like liberate themselves, and it's always punished by like a ruling class or like it's always like a class thing every time it like comes back to that. And it's so fascinating to like, I don't know, like a lot of like trans, like examples of like trans and like gender bending in ancient tradition and stuff like that is like very tied to old religions and things like that. So like the Catholic Church used it to like basically as another way to like diminish paganism and like, and it's really, and anyway, very interesting if anybody's looking for something like that to look at.
That's interesting.
Should we
add that to the book club?
We'll add it to the book club.
Someone was telling our Reese Witherspoon. We're going to call it the Reese Witherspoon, because hers isn't even called Reese Witherspoon. So we called ours Reese Witherspoon book club.
Yeah, because hers is like, what is it? Hello Sunshine.
Hello Sunshine.
Yeah.
And ours is just Reese Witherspoon book club.
Boys club Reese Witherspoon book club.
Because that's probably not taken, because she didn't use it.
True.
And what she does is then she buys the rights. So you could buy the rights to this book. And then
she could buy the podcast and we'd be rich as hell.
No, I think she would be really tickled by us.
I think you would.
Yeah, you never know.
Okay, should I do my boys club?
What's your boys club?
Okay, my boys club is somebody I'm calling the biggest guy in the room.
Okay.
Okay.
Jackson, you stay in that room.
No, I'll explain what I mean. Jackson is the tallest among us, but neither here nor there. So I was at the movies. I was at the Angelica with Sam Schaefer. Shout out, Sam. We were
the
seeing
one in Soho.
We were seeing The Brutalist. No, we were the one in East Village. We saw The Brutalist, which was a long movie, whatever. We get in there. There's this like, he must be like a sophomore in college. That was like the vibe this guy was giving. And is like, he's sitting
in the movie theater.
He's in the movie theater in front of us. The movie hasn't started yet, to be fair. But he's like talking so loudly, so bro-y. And then like, he looks up and sees somebody he knows. And he's like, can't believe you're here. Oh my God, this guy.
And it just like immediately has to be like the loudest, the biggest dude in the room. I'm just like, just pull your dick out and swing it in our faces at this point.
No, totally.
So I just turned to Sam and I was like, what do you think it feels like to be the biggest guy in this room right now?
Did you say it loud enough for him to hear?
I wanted to. I don't know if he heard me, but he's too up in his own ass to probably hear me. But do you know what I mean? Like, there's sometimes
no,
that you're
I know what
a...
I'm thinking of him, but I can't say it because
no,
we'll get
you know
in trouble.
This phenomenon?
Can I say it? Wait, this is why I've been meaning to add a thing where we have a notepad that we write things on.
So that we can just keep rolling.
Yes. I want to say that so because you all know this person and you would know, you would agree with this.
Well, but you know what I'm trying
yes,
to reference.
Yeah, yeah,
like,
yeah.
I feel like there's so often this is like such a socialized as a man thing where like you there's this like inflated ego and like if you have the opportunity to seem like the coolest
no I completely
loudest,
agree with you
dude who knows everybody here like
here's my fear and I don't want to make this about gay guy but don't
please.
You think there's a gay guy version of that
I
that
think
is,
there's an all kinds of guy version like
yeah
that.
Yeah
and I'm
think,
sure part of the reason that I was so like affected by this is because I probably was also feeling shame about any time I've experienced that and I've been the one who's done that.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah.
I'm sure I have.
Been the biggest guy in the room where you're like, what's up, what's up?
Yeah,
what's up?
But it's probably not a room of men.
There's a Gatsby element to it. Not Gatsby. It's the opposite. Who's the one that... There's a Tom Buchanan element to it.
Sure, yeah.
Tom Buchanan's the biggest guy in the room.
Yeah, yeah.
Where you kind of have to like, actually... Caroline Dunn said, when I wear this shirt, it looks like I have casual money, which feels like biggest guy in the room.
Wow, okay.
Yeah.
But, you know, casual I feel like biggest money. Guy in the room usually is like... He's actually not the biggest guy in the room, but he's really inflating himself to seem so.
I know.
You know
but do
I
you
mean?
Think that the average person can see past
because the
it?
Actual most powerful person in the room
is the casual.
Is quiet.
Casual.
You know what I mean?
Quiet luxury.
Quiet. Well, that too. Yeah.
Is wearing something from The Row by Mary Kate and Ashley Olsen, a $400 white t-shirt.
God, that should be illegal.
Yeah. 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 No. On this podcast, we are anti-Olsen
no
twin.
No white t-shirt should be $400. I'm sorry. Okay.
We should, that PETA, you should be throwing paint on that.
Yeah,
so you should
PETA.
Be throwing paint on if you really cared. Wait, what I need to say to you, the last thing I'm going to say, and I actually forgot what it is, so I wish we could cut this, but we can't, but I started the sentence and I'm so far into it. I don't remember.
I mean, it went all kinds of places.
I don't even remember.
Maybe you'll come back to it. Should we bring our guest in?
Sometimes when I don't feel confident, it's like, just pretend. Just like put it on. Like just
okay.
be like, oh, what's up, everybody? Yeah. Oh, you want a coffee? You want a water? Like, what can I get? Like, whatever. Oh,
Connor's biggest guy in the room is always from Philadelphia.
And it's always like a host vibes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But not in a welcoming way, in a way that's like, I'm the biggest guy in the room right now. Anyway.
Yeah.
All right, let's bring our guest in.
Okay.
All right, boys, our guest this week is a dear friend of the podcast, an amazing stand-up comedian. She hosts a monthly show called The Acme Review. She also is an amazing designer, makes a lot of cool clothes. She's open for people like Beth Stelling. Hello, boys. Please welcome our friend and yours, Julia Desmond.
Hey.
What's up, Julia?
How are you?
I'm great. I'm happy to be here.
Yeah, we're happy to have you.
I love your eyeliner, not to objectify you.
Thank you.
But I literally said to her, I was like, I hope she does eyeliner, because I love your eyeliner always.
Well, thank you so much.
It is a classic look. Are you familiar with the phenomenon of the biggest guy in the room?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
I was like teeming with things to say during the entire time you were talking, but also dreading when it would be my turn to talk because I was enjoying listening so much. But I find that I feel like I take on biggest guy in the room sometimes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And that's something I really resent in myself. But I do it at work a lot, like working at a coffee shop.
Yeah.
Because like, you know, regulars and you know everybody. I just feel like I'm talking all day loudly.
Yeah.
biggest guy in the room. But I agreed with what you said, that there are different biggest guys in the room for kind of every... like side of every human situation.
Yeah, yeah. Because it could be anybody. But I also just want to say that you're cool. So like that's different. You know what I mean?
I feel like you're doing.
And you're
it
also
to,
at work, so that's like you got to be friendly.
You're doing it to make people comfortable.
I'm doing it to make tips. Let's get that clear.
Well, that's being the smartest
guy. You're a jester
in that
way.
That's working smarter, not harder.
And who's the biggest guy in the room at the end of the day when I bring home $23 cash?
I feel like our jobs are similar in that way, in that we're kind of like, it's like a personality thing where you just have to like listen and be nice, and people will like tell you things about their personal lives, whether or not you asked or cared. And then you have to like give an amount of energy that is actually insincere and nothing from you, but it's not that you don't care, but it's self-preservation, that you can't just be like, it can be investing in everybody's lives.
Yeah.
It has to be a little bit hollow, or else you have nothing to give that's real to the actual people in your lives.
Totally.
You know?
Yeah.
It has to.
Does that make sense? This actually, not to go right into my boys club,
no,
but that
please.
Is the boys club that I had. For that I thought would be fun to talk about is the boys club of the service industry. That's the one that I'm a part of.
Yeah.
Because it is exclusive in the way that like you have to be like active duty service industry employee to obtain that mutual respect that you get like in the neighborhood of like different when you see someone behind the counter like at a bar or at a restaurant where you serve them too, it's like a whole elevated level of seeing another person, you know?
Totally.
Yes, it's beautiful.
I feel like there's great, like, I know this from when my girlfriend Maddie worked at, she worked at a cupcake shop for a while, and she was like, there was such a nice ecosystem of, like small businesses around there that would, like, trade and barter, like, here's extra cupcakes, here's extra this, extra that. So I feel like there is, like, this, like, this internal community happening.
Exactly.
Yeah. That's, you've worked as a host.
I was the host of a restaurant when I drank cough syrup. This was before I got sober, and I drank half a bottle of cough syrup, and I didn't walk right for 5 days. But my whole job was to take people to their tables, so I was just like,
you would just kind of walk in circles till they got there,
like lopsided. And that's kind of why it's like, maybe don't hide the alcohol in the house. Maybe just kind of like be grateful that it's not cough syrup. It could be worse.
You were like quite literally leaning your way to the table. Yes. Like families of four following you.
Yes.
Like into the wall.
Literally. Because it was just like only one leg really worked and the other one was just sort of like coming along. It fucked up my nervous system.
That's like, really bad. I'm not
like 5 days.
Not funny.
Did you get high off of it?
You know, I got something off of it. Like you just feel really confused and you're just like, I think this is I'm going to like totally like enter a culture that's not mine.
Sure.
And isn't this in like Lean or like Purple or whatever.
Purple
it's
Drank
like,
or something.
Like some
Purple
Macklemore shit.
Yeah.
It's like,
I think that there is some, I think there are references to some sort of drink that has cough syrup in it.
Yeah. Lean is like medical grade cough syrup and like Sprite, right?
Here's the thing.
Isn't that
total
what it is?
Hard.
I'm like,
don't
I'd
recommend.
Like that.
Did you even mix it with Sprite?
I think I mixed it with Cherry Coke Zero.
Oh, that's a good, that's good too. But I do think it calls for a Sprite.
Yeah, that sounds nice. A Sprite is a little more like summery.
And
summertime.
Do they call it Lean? Because that's what you do?
Yeah, it's like a skinny girl.
Yeah.
It's Bethany Frankel's way to get fucking high. And like, it was scary. Like, my nervous. Oh, wait, can I be like gross on the podcast?
Please.
Okay, this is like way too much information. I like just like don't even care because like it's a podcast. And like, so I could not jack for like a long time after that. And now, because of cough syrup.
Yeah.
Have I ruined the vibe?
No.
And then like 2 years ago, I will. Like was really sick and I had to take like cough suppressant, like a normal healthy amount, and it had the same effect to my body. And I'm convinced that when I took all that cough syrup, it was kind of like when I went tanning and I like activated a permanent thing in my body, kind of like a superpower, but also like a curse at the same time, where it's like forever you're gonna get tan really fast and also not be able to come on any amount of cough syrup.
Wow.
It like shuts my nervous system down.
That's so, yeah, I wonder like, yeah, what has been unlocked in you.
No, something.
Your body is like keeping the score.
Yeah.
Yes.
In a major way.
I feel like
are you hosting at a restaurant again? What's happening?
Literally. It like,
you can't come if you're walking into the wall at the restaurant.
It accesses something. It's also fucked up because the host has so much power. Like the host decides, like I just was paid hourly, so it's like la la la. But like then the like actual people like serving the table, like they need tables and numbers, and it's my job to make sure that Doreen, who reminded me of 18 by Ed Sheeran, like for a lot of reasons, like gets her tables, and it's like I'm incapacitated and I'm responsible for this woman's like getting enough seat. Like that's
you're
not
also
right.
The face of the restaurant.
Hi, welcome. Yeah, I know.
You're the face of a small business.
I want to know details about this restaurant. What kind of cuisine it was? What was the overall
American?
Okay,
the best.
Okay,
to be
like a burger. Like a
yes,
burger
it was called. I'll just say what it was called because like it was so long ago and there was no NDA, and it was called the Chestnut Hill Grill and Cafe in Chestnut Hill, Pennsylvania. Chestnut Hill Grill and Sidewalk Cafe. I'm on the street, okay? I'm on the fucking street.
Yeah.
Taking people to their whatever. And so my friend's dad, who Aaliyah, who was my, we don't need to cut that because I have nothing negative to say about her, who was my junior prom date, her dad owned it, and she was a server and I was a host. And
well, now this is making more sense how you got this job.
That's how I got that's how I kept the job.
Yeah.
And that was kind of it. Like it was just a variety. One time someone was stealing money from the restaurant and that was a whole problem, but it wasn't me and I was not anywhere near the money.
Yeah, true.
It was, no, literally it was a disease.
Maybe
it was
who
a mess.
Knows what happened there when you were on cough syrup.
I know. And I would wear yellow pants. I would wear like pastels to work all the time. Like and like spurry topsiders shoes.
Was that required or was that your style?
I didn't know who I was.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I still don't. But
it's like kind of that East Coast Sperry's.
Yeah. Where it's like you think you're dressing cool, but you're actually dressing like an 80-year-old man. Like you're like dressing like the oldest man you've ever seen.
I mean, growing up in the South, I mean, I'm sure you grew up around people too. The salmon pants, the fucking bow ties.
Default attire.
Yeah.
Default setting attire was. Simply Southern.
Yes.
Lily Pulitzer.
What's the one with the whale on it?
Vineyard Vines.
Vineyard Vines. Thank you. Yeah.
Vineyard Vines, Southern Tide.
All those.
Those types of things. Sperry Topsiders.
Yeah. Wallabies.
Mm-hmm. That was
that
around.
Stuff.
I mean, you went to Wake Forest.
Yeah.
I'm sure that it was crawling.
Oh, even still, it's in college. Yes. Because like in Savannah, where I grew up in high school, that was like definitely big. And then it was no different at Wake.
Wait, where are you from?
North Carolina.
What part? We talked about this one time. I'm sure.
I think we have talked about that. I lived in a lot of different towns in North Carolina, but I moved here from Wilmington.
One Tree Hill and another thing.
Outer Banks is kind of, it's not Wilmington, but
it's around
there.
What's that show that was with Katie Holmes? Dawson's Creek? Yes.
Was that in Wilmington?
Yes.
Oh, no way.
Yeah, that was in Wilmington.
Wait, with these friends that I like, wait, this is so crazy. And then we're going to make the rest of the episode about you. But like... I have these friends that were like, I really loved, and we went to Wilmington, but then we had like a falling out, and now they're all like at bachelorette parties and they're getting married. And I'm like, wait, it was the falling out that bad? I was like, I'm right here, guys. So whatever, I'm like working through that. But one time we all went to Wilmington together to like see where One Tree Hill. Well, they just went for fun, but I went to see where One Tree Hill was filmed.
What was your falling out about?
Well, we opened such a can of worms. I just feel like sometimes people like grow apart and like change, and like expectations of friendships just like shift. And I think we like accidentally went into that murky territory.
Yeah.
I'll tell the whole story really fast. So my very close friend texted me and was like, I don't feel important. And then I pretended to not know what she meant. I was like, oh, I don't feel important either sometimes, like in the world. I believe as if it was an existential question. And it's like, oh, to be a person and not feel whatever. And it was obvious who's meant me. And then she's like, we need to make time for each other, blah, blah, blah. But I was like really stressed at the time. And like, it was just a lot. And then I feel like I like walked her dog one time, and then like she wanted to hang out again the next week. And I was like, I don't really have like time to do this, but like whatever. And then we just like completely drifted apart. And one time then I ran into her in the subway, and she was like, I don't want to waste your time. Like from Chicago, Mr. Cellophane. Like, I don't hope I didn't take up your time. And then,
wow.
And then it was just like, yeah. And, but I was supposed to see her and the other friend who lived in Boston when they came to town, but then they came to town and then just like didn't tell me. And then I was like, oh, like crap, I'm out. And now they're like getting married, and it does make me, I have dreams about it a lot, but I don't think that I'm having dreams about them as friends. I think I'm having dreams about who I was when I was 23 and went to Wilmington. Was that a lot? Can we cut that part? No, like we can keep it. Like I have no issue keeping it, but like it's so important.
No.
Jackson.
Okay. Everyone has had a falling out like that as they get older and they get busier and their priorities shift. And it's sad and it hurts and it makes you question like what your priorities are, but sometimes I don't know, your gut just tells you what you have time for, I guess, which sounds a little harsh, but
no, totally,
the people that stick, I think
it's also something I think that we are some of the first generations to have to navigate, the way that relationships change over time while still being able to keep in touch with people, because even our parents, you know, like I think they're all very grateful that now they get to like catch up with old friends over Facebook and other things, and I think that's like a very cool thing for a lot of like older people, but like for us, it's like we never got the opportunity of like just letting things sort of naturally fizzle as they should.
Completely.
Because we can and often feel we have to keep up with people.
Yeah.
Which is like nice, because I'm glad, I think there are people that I maybe wouldn't have stayed connected to that I'm glad I did. But at the same time, it's like, oh, why do I have to feel a pressure to keep up with everybody forever?
Yeah.
Just because we're friends on Facebook.
And then the silence feels impenetrable because the silence is optional.
Yeah.
So it's like you can't.
Wow.
That's the title of the silence feels impenetrable because the silence is optional.
People are going to be like, what are they talking about?
Because it's your choice. Like I actually just broke a 2 or 3 year silence with someone a couple days ago. I sent the first message. I was just like, I've been thinking about you and I hope you're doing well. And that's so scary to do, because it's like admitting, like, I let 3 years go by without us communicating.
Yeah.
How do you feel about that?
Did I'm they sure respond?
No, they have not yet, but that's okay.
Yeah. I also think, like, I mean, I feel like when it's a mutual silence on both sides, there's also like a mutual lack of blame. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like it's like, I mean, not that I know anything about the situation, but like, I feel like in general, when like both parties have not talked, it's like, well, whoever decides to break the silence first, who cares? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't know.
No, I know.
That's what you would hope the take would be on the other side of things. But sometimes I think people get, there's a self a self-righteousness perhaps happening that you don't know is happening, sure. where they're like, well, I'm not going to be the first one to reach out. And then yeah. if you are the first one to reach out, then it's met with more.
Well, I was waiting.
Yeah. And then you're like, dang, well.
Yeah.
And then it's like this thing where it's like, you don't want them. But there's so many, oh my God, like there's so many things that could be true. Like they could think that you don't care about them.
They could think that.
And that's why you're not reaching out. And they're like, well, I'm not going to reach out to someone that doesn't care about me. And then even though you're like, I don't want to be prideful or like, I don't want to be desperate and like chase a person who I think is mad at me for a stupid reason. Yeah. So it's like,
yet you know every book they've read for the last 3 years because you're on their Instagram. You know what I mean? Yeah, like yeah, we have yeah. such yes. a weird, it's so strange.
I think everyone know. Has like 15 people rattling in their head every day, perhaps different 15 people every day that they're like, oh, it would be nice to catch up with that person. But time gets shorter the more it happens.
Yeah.
Oh my. Yeah. Life is really short.
It's starting to seem that way.
yeah, seriously.
And then you always think that the people that you're thinking about are thinking about you because of cosmic reasons. But then one time, this guy who was a lawyer who I thought my personality was annoying, he reached out and said, I've been thinking a lot about you. And I was like, what the hell? I've thought about you at all. And I was like, this totally fucks with my theory that all the people I've been thinking about are thinking about me. What the fuck?
Yeah. Sometimes when I have a dream about somebody, I'm like, does that mean like I always jump to that too. I'm like, they must be thinking about me or something. But it's like, no, you were thinking about them. That's why you had the dream. This is your subconscious.
I know. That's so inconvenient.
Yeah.
That like, there's no way to the mind of any other person.
Well, I read this book recently called The Candy House. Did I tell you about this?
Is it narrative?
I'll be super quick. It's a fiction, short story fiction book, but it's about this like sort of like not too far off future, like sci-fi kind of thing, where somebody created a piece of tech basically where you can upload your, it's called Own Your Own Subconscious. You can upload your own subconscious to this like device and then watch it back. But then there was like a social media element made on top of that where you can upload your own subconscious to the collective conscious, and then you have access to anybody who's uploaded theirs, but they all have access to yours.
So they can see what they've thought of you?
If you and I both uploaded ours, like in this narrative, like I could go watch your every memory you've ever had from your perspective, and same for me.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Maybe then you'd really understand me. Just kidding. Wait, that's freaky. How do they turn that into a story?
Well, it's about like all these people like navigating a world where this like technology exists. It's really interesting.
Where you like completely know someone from.
But it's only if you decide to like, because there's people on both sides who like never engaged with it. And I'm like, I'm not doing that. But then they show like an example of a woman who did. And it's like, it kind of like pierces the veil of like the kind of excitement of it. Because like what the reality is that like she was like, I'm going to watch the first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to watch a memory that my like from when I was a kid, but from my dad's perspective of us going on this trip. And it's like her favorite memory from her childhood. But then like from her dad's side, like when you actually are in the self-conscious, he's like, oh, fuck, my balls itch. I have to fart. Damn, I wish I wasn't bringing my kid. I just kind of want to get stoned the whole time with my friends. Like, and so like she was like immediately it's like, oh, my God, like, why did I buy this? Why did I do this? Like, it's very like cool, like tech sort of end of the world vibes kind of book. Anyway.
That's kind of like on Grindr, if you send your nudes, but then he sends his nudes and it's like, well, now it's mutually assured destruction. Now we kind of both have our hands ready to pull the bomb and we're all going to be fucked.
Exactly.
Can she get into other people's though?
Yeah.
So it's like a subscription. So like you can see anyone.
I think, you know, it's in the world of this book, so I can't give you too many details.
No, sure.
Yeah,
sure.
Well, anyway, we got way off topic of
Wilmington.
Boys
Club.
Yeah,
what did you do in Wilmington?
Oh, we just like went to the beach and we just like went to this place that had like fish sandwiches and we drove and
the beach.
Yes. And actually one girl on this trip who was like kind of a controversial figure who's, I'm not going to say her name, which I think is big of me. But I liked her, but then she moved to Spain for a study abroad and then stayed there and got married.
Whoa.
Yeah,
Barcelona?
She kind of won the trip, yeah.
Yeah.
She like kind of, or maybe even like a smaller thing than that, but yeah.
Wow.
But it was just like a nice trip. I love North Carolina, so like I grew up going to Ocean Isle Beach.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Cool. And then, so I was like, went through my whole life.
Amazing. Yeah.
Have you been there?
Ocean Isle? I actually don't think so.
It's near like Calabash and like, it's near the South Carolina border.
Mm-hmm. No.
Close to Myrtle Beach.
Yeah,
close
Myrtle
to
Myrtle Beach. Beach is as far
Myrtle
as I got.
Beach.
Wait, so where? So you lived in Wilmington, you said. Did you like living there?
Yeah, I did. It was good for the time that I was there. I'd love to visit. I'm going back the next month for a week, just like hang out with my friends. So
yeah.
Nice.
That speaks to how much I like it there.
Yeah.
Wait, that's nice. It's probably really warm and perfect there right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's probably a little bit cold, but.
Like sweaters.
Not too
North
bad.
Carolina has like the perfect weather, in my opinion, because it has four seasons, like real and like legit seasons. And it's so.
I know.
Yeah. Like it actually,
Yeah. Like, it gets like 40 degrees for a couple of days and then it like bounces back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we would get snow at Wake like maybe every other year.
Yeah.
Yeah. It wasn't, yeah.
But then you'd be scared because you'd be walking in Sperry Topsiders and no one on brick floors.
For sure.
Well, there'd
for
be
sure.
a light dusting of snow and the entire town shut would
down.
Shut down.
Yeah. No, yeah. They do not know what to do about it there. Yeah. Yeah. No, we would like not have class for like a week and a half because our professor's like, well, they haven't plowed my street yet. Yeah. Like, North Carolina's like, so, yeah. Especially ones in Salem, they were not getting their shit done. Yeah.
Other towns I loved were Hillsboro, Carrboro. Oh, you know Hillsboro?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Weaver's Way Co op. Do you know what that is?
Weaver Street Market?
You're totally right. Yeah. You're going to be correct.
Oh, Weaver Street Market.
That's like kind of a North Carolina fixture.
I guess so. I didn't ever think about if it was just North Carolina specific, but it's like the, it's like, wait, what is it? Wegmans. Like
yeah, Wegmans. Yeah. I used to like rent a car senior year because I was like an urban soul, but like trapped on like a southern college campus. Yes.
Yeah.
So I used to like walk to the Jewel Osco. What's it called there? Like Harris Teeter. Mm. And like it'd be like 3 miles and people
Where's
would say
Jewel
like,
Osco?
Where? Jewel, Chicago.
Okay.
Yeah. That was where I lived in the middle. Yeah.
Even everywhere.
Well, I think there's something beautiful about grocery stores and that they're the same everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
That
yeah.
like your mom's going through the same Trader Joe's down grocery in Atlanta, stores. Georgia that we have
yeah.
here.
Grocery
yeah.
stores are the same in every language.
Yeah, that's beautiful.
Wait, I want to get back to your boys club of service industry and stuff. And,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because like, have you? Because I know you have worked as a barista before.
Yeah,
and,
I still work as a barista, just 2 days a week because I sew all the other days of the week.
That's amazing.
That's cool. Wait, out of your house or where?
Mm-hmm.
That's cool.
I have a studio. Like, I have like a big bedroom and I have it split between, I have like a partition.
Yeah.
A studio and then a bedroom.
Wait, when did you start doing that?
I've been making clothes for like, I started in 2020.
Did you make this? Mm.
Yeah.
I was going to say, you have like so many sick pieces like this.
Thank you so much.
Yeah.
How did you know how to do, like, how did you learn that?
I kind of taught my, well, it's like easy because it's just hand stitching. Mm. So it's like, it's very intuitive. And then once you do it a bunch, you just get good
yeah.
at it. And
yeah. You yeah. have such like sick designs. Like all your stuff
Thanks.
I always love. And I know Maddie has a piece and I think Jesse has a couple. Like all your stuff is always so cool. Anybody
Thank
who's watching,
so
check out Julia's clothing as well. Very, very sick stuff. Have you worked in other service industry jobs other than barista?
Yeah. Yeah. I worked at Trader Joe's for a long time, which
Fuck.
Has never surprised anyone.
In New York?
No, in North Carolina.
That's
Wait,
better. I feel like the New York ones are like so.
Which one in North Carolina?
I think that would be the worst
job. Level. I worked at the one in Winston-Salem and then the one
oh, no
in
way.
Wilmington. Yeah.
Oh, sick.
During the pandemic. Were you there?
No, I was graduated by then, so I was gone. Yeah. But that's so wild. I'm sure there was certainly one point where all three of us were in North Carolina at the same time.
You think so?
That's
yeah.
so magical.
When you were at Elon and I was at Wake.
The year
we
is 2016.
Yeah, probably.
The year
yeah.
you're describing is called 2016.
The year Trump won North Carolina, we were all holding
I
it
was
down.
Just like driving to Hillsboro. I was renting cars for through Enterprise. Shout out. Out Enterprise and just like driving to like random towns like Carrboro and like I don't know, I just like needed to get out.
North yeah. Carolina is a cool state because it does have like a lot of really like cool little pockets of like cool culture and like progressive areas.
Yeah,
like Asheville, Carrboro is like pretty
yeah it was yeah. really lovely.
I was just in Raleigh and for some shows actually. Jeremy Elder opened for me.
Yeah,
we were talking about
so
you
sweet.
Yeah,
I love Jeremy.
He's such a sweet guy. And we were talking about you and Maddie Wiener as like two of our like favorite people coming out of the North Carolina scene. But
so
I didn't realize that. Is Maddie from Asheville?
Maddie is from Raleigh.
I think from Carver.
Oh, cool.
Actually, like maybe like
wow.
That is where part
There's a giant bull in the center of the town.
There it, well that's in Durham.
JK.
And then
JK.
The bull has a ball sack and the ball sack is a different color than the rest of the bull from people touching it.
Oh, my God.
Should I have said that?
Heathens.
No, you should have. Because at first I was like, that's crazy that they made it a different color to like let it stand out, but it's almost worse.
It's been rubbed down.
And people are just like cupping.
Damn.
Can't For
so often
For
that
photos.
It's discolored.
And leisure.
Yeah.
Wow.
Perhaps.
Wow. And leisure.
Yeah.
If
I
you...
have like a cousin there who like sleeps, I'm not even kidding you, who like sleeps outside because she's like of the earth. Like
in Durham?
Yeah, no, I'm dead ass.
Yeah, no.
Now this
yeah.
is a way more complicated
like
story.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you that's offline.
Okay.
Like way more complicated. But I think they're very like hippie spiritual.
Yeah,
there.
There's like a grunge-ness to Durham, I think.
Like, Durham's I think she has
my
chickens.
Favorite city in North Carolina.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or Winston-Salem.
I haven't spent as much time in Durham. I like, unfortunately, I've only ever spent time at like Duke, which is probably the worst part of Durham.
Yeah, tough. That's tough.
Of your service industry jobs, do you have one that you feel like it was or is the worst of them?
I worked at a barbecue restaurant in downtown Winston-Salem. Yeah, working at that barbecue restaurant was tough. Actually, ironically, I got called a stupid bitch there once.
Wow.
Dude, what did you say back to that?
I think I said something like, I don't think you can say that to me. I don't think you can call me that.
Don't take anybody's shit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I do.
No, you can't take anybody's shit.
That's how you go home with $23 in tips at the end of the day. It's
exactly.
By taking shit.
You gotta take shit.
Yeah.
No, but my job right now is really nice. Everyone's nice to me.
That's good. It's
nice.
That's good.
It's
yeah.
Really nice.
That's what you need in this world.
Yeah.
One time at a job, and I'm not going to say which one it was. This one. And, but this woman was like really annoyed. And then I was just like, okay. And then she said, you're being really rude. And I was like, I just have really bad anxiety. And then she was like, oh my God. Oh my God. Like, are you okay? I was like, no. And then so when in doubt,
you
just
drop
be like
a spoke from and like run away.
I just like, I have really bad anxiety. And then women will just leave you alone. They're like, they'll actually feel really bad.
Yeah.
It's so wild to me though, that like, I don't know, in this day and age, I know we all have access to, at the same time, the same information, but also all different information considering the way that algorithms work. But I feel like even if you're the most obtuse person in the world, you must at least know that, like, if you're a dick to people in the service industry, that is horrible and such a bad look. Like, even if you, like, didn't have any sort of, I don't know, internal thing going on to realize that on your own accord, go on the internet and see that that's the general consensus of the world. Like, I just, like, anybody who acts that way, I'm like, who raised you? What is happening?
No,
what world
I think
are you
that.
Living in?
Like, I used to work for this gym that I don't work for now, but it was a NAS gym that I worked for where they would have, like, client notes, and then it would be like, this person was rude to XYZ, or this person said XYZ. It'd be like, how embarrassing that you were just, like, a tech sales professional consultant going about the world, and there is a client note about you at the local spin studio. That is humiliating. Grow up. Like,
literally.
When you get to heaven, you're going to have to read all the client notes about you.
In heaven?
God's like, well, maybe how you're right. And how,
if you get enough client notes, honey, you're not going to heaven.
Literally.
Yeah, Satan's going to hand over a solid core email and say, you're going to have to read these.
That's, but not solid core. Was another joke?
Sorry, not solid core.
But the WikiLeaks I want is that. Client email. Like, client notes is
you know,
what we need.
Honestly, my version of WikiLeaks is I think that on every social media platform, I think, because I think that one of the beautiful things about Reddit is if you go on somebody's Reddit, you can see anything they've ever posted in any thread.
Terrifying, yeah.
Yeah, that fucked me up one time.
I think that you should be able to, like, I think that should have the same feature for comments. So, like, if there's, like, a blank face who's commenting shitty things on people's videos all the time.
Of course.
Then it makes it easier
like
for,
like, your IP or something.
Yeah, well, it just, like, says, like, okay, like, you would see, like, oh, commented on this person, like, a bad thing about it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So then people would be like,
yeah.
And then they can make it easier for these social media platforms to be like, oh, you have a history of being a dick, which I'm sure they have access
or
to.
Or you'd
anyway.
Be like, I'm sorry that you're some, like, whatever, some horrible thing happened to you that we just figured out, and that's really devastating.
Literally. But.
But one time I wrote on Reddit, this is the darkest thing I'm ever going to say. It's really sad.
Uh-oh.
And it's pathetic, and we don't have to cut this because
sure.
I'm being vulnerable. One time I wrote on Reddit, hey, I'm going to this gay guy's show at Club Coming, and it was my show. And then I figured out that all the other things, like now it's like, and then I tried to take it down, but like, you can't take things down off Reddit. They're there forever. And then I had to start like a fake chat because people would be like, oh, I want to come, like add me to the chat. So I had to start a fake chat with Sam Schaefer was in it and be like, oh, like I already bought my ticket. And
I love that all this is happening. I have no idea. All these guys from Reddit show up to Boys Club.
Which is scary because like we
in
don't
search of Reddit user 345.
No, exactly. And it's like there's violence in the world. People are weird. Like you don't need to be going like to like that part of the internet to get people into your show. Like ew. Like
so you were going like posing as like I'm going to see this gay guy's show.
And he's
Does
also really
wanna...
hot.
Yeah.
And then Sam Schaefer would comment, I've seen him, he's really funny. And that's
I can't believe you two were up
that's
to such
so
a scheme.
Funny.
That's
and then,
funny.
And then you click on your username.
And you'd see everything else I wrote. I'd be like, Pilates. I'd be like, okay. It'd be like, I was in this guy's Pilates class and it didn't go down like that. And it's like, oh my God, I'm so, that was the issue is that then you click on it and it's like me advertising for like my own comedy show as I'm like defending my own class. It was awful. Just
wow.
Awful. But like, here's the thing. The Redditor's always wrong is what that we need to remember.
Yeah.
The Redditor
yeah,
is
yeah,
always
yeah,
wrong.
Yeah. Yes. Should we do another boys club?
What's a boys club you're not a part of?
Saunas. Going to the sauna. Going to the bathhouse. I got to go recently for a friend's birthday. I got to go to the bathhouse and
was it like a full birthday party?
No, it was like she had a stipend from work.
Oh cool.
Like a wellness site. So
yeah.
She brought a couple friends, which was so fun.
Yeah.
The bathhouse is not for me. I like the part where you sit in the pool.
Yeah.
It's a normal temperature. And then you go into the sauna and that that is what a panic attack feels like. That's totally. It's a panic attack. It's the ambiance of a panic attack into a hot room. I don't understand.
Yeah.
What's the difference between sauna and steam?
I don't know.
You don't have to know.
Is there?
I think a steam room. Jackson, do you know?
We have a gay guy in the other room who's going to explain this to us.
No, okay. He doesn't know. I think the difference between a steam room and a sauna is probably the steam. I don't know. I've been to one sauna in my life.
I was going to say what it was, but then I took it back.
And it was also for my birthday. I did a sauna thing, and I felt the same way where I was like, because they did some like special ritual that I was like, oh, I'll go in and do that, mm-hmm. and which was just some guy like waving a towel, and I was like, do you have credentials for this anyway? But I couldn't even make it the whole time because the pressure is so crazy.
Yeah, I mean, it feels amazing when you're out of it.
Yeah.
But is that just the dichotomy of how horrible it felt when you were in it?
Yeah.
I think that's life maybe sometimes. You need to struggle life. To remember what it was to feel good again.
Yeah. I think a lot of my hobbies, stand-up number one, is I don't actually like doing stand-up. I love the feeling of when it's over and I'm like, I survived having to do stand-up.
Sure, sure.
Like, yeah.
I get to live another day.
Sometimes I think stand-up should be first thing in the morning so you have the rest of your day.
That was literally like, I mean, when I played soccer in school, like we would have morning practice and I was always, despite having to get up at 5 a.m. every day, like which was hard, like I was like, well, at least the most stressful thing I have to do all day is done by 9. Like, and yeah. We got the whole day to like just live because... Yes. I feel that too. Sometimes I'm like, God, I wish stand-up was like at 4 o'clock and then I could go have lunch or I mean dinner after and then like,
because if you get anxious before, even if you love it and you get anxious before, like there's still like that, like you're like wrestling with this feeling of this big impending thing.
Yeah.
Whereas like, hey, wouldn't it be nice to be like, oh, we're done at 6 and we're going to go fucking live out loud. Like that would be amazing.
Yeah.
That would be the dream. But, yeah. It's the relief is the best part sometimes.
Yeah.
So not that it's never fun when you're doing it, but life in general, the relief can be the best part.
And I guess that's like what people are attracted to, like thrill rides and stuff like that.
Yes.
The thrill, because there's like thrill when something's over, or like horror.
Yeah.
That's like, I love roller coasters. I love scary movies. I feel like I should love the sauna. It's like unpleasant. It like, spikes your senses.
Yeah.
Did it smell weird?
Smelled delightful. Absolutely delightful. Because
they put those like incense things in there to like make them smell.
Smells
good.
Fantastic. You smell your swimsuit after being in the bath.
You wore
amazing.
A swimsuit?
You wore a swimsuit.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah, you can't be naked at the one that I went to.
I think that's rad.
No matter how hard you try.
I think that's groundbreaking.
They won't let you.
Were there men in there?
There were men in there.
Oh.
There was the biggest guy in the room, Nico.
Oh, I bet there was.
There was the biggest guy in the room.
Having conversation in the sauna?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Talking about. Do you want to guess? Three guesses. Guess what we're talking about.
Talking about getting laid?
No.
Talking about crypto?
You're getting there.
Okay, talking about finance?
It was the club. He's talking about the club.
Club.
Oh, the club.
He's just talking about the club.
That sounds about right. Yeah. That sounds about right. And to be talking in the sauna is the antithesis of what that experience is supposed to be.
I will say I was gabbing at the sauna.
Wait, I respect that. I have too much anxiety. When
maybe
I'm sauna,
wrong. I guess because bathhouses were initially like very social places. So I guess
I don't
I'm wrong.
Know.
It's wrong when a man that talks. Guy did it. When that guy did it, it's wrong.
For sure.
When me and my friends did it was...
charming.
Well, I really stand by
really sweet.
The fact that anything a man does that is annoying when done by... beautiful women, it erases it. The bad stuff is erased.
Certainly. Wait, I have it's to
like,
raise this
like
really
a woman
fast.
In finance. I'm like, I don't even care that it's capitalist. It's hot.
Yeah.
That's hot.
Wait, no, I'm not
women,
gonna say
more women at Raytheon.
Yes, more women at Raytheon.
Okay, so there have been these viral TikTok videos for a gym, and I'm not gonna say the name of the gym, but it's the class that I have formerly taught at. And currently, so like. Yes, and all these TikTok videos that are like, men shouldn't be going to this, and girls, stop bringing your boyfriends. The only thing I hate seeing in a class is a man. And we might disagree on this. This is the part where we fight. I'm opposed to this because I'm like, why are we policing? I think a workout class is already very exclusive and like
for
doesn't
sure.
feel nice. So it's like, don't be mean to some guy who's trying to get his new year, new him.
Yeah.
And was he, all my years of teaching, only one time, and I'm very aware because I'm anxious, did I think a man was weird vibes. I thought he looked at a woman funky, and then I stood in front of him, cocked his face the rest of the class. I was like, this is it. I was like, I'm protecting my girls
can be
here.
Ready to go.
Literally,
get
I was
those
like,
eyes
you,
over here.
Literally, like, you look down, brother. Like, I know. Like, I protect people. Like, when that door opens, they're probably like, I'm ready to fucking go. Like, I'm on the front. front lines over there.
You're not letting anything fishy happen.
No.
I know. And I was like, why are these girls being mean? But I get it. Because then part of me is like, I do agree men shouldn't be in many places. And like, I totally agree men are. I'm scared of men. I thought I was internalized homophobic. I'm just internalized scared of all men.
Yeah.
But then I was like, no, but I do think they should be allowed to go work out at Pilates classes.
Yeah, probably. I would think. Yeah.
Yeah.
I
mean, it, you know, maybe you're right.
I mean, I it's tough because it's like, you know, obviously I want women to feel safe wherever
totally.
They are. But if a girl brings her boyfriend, I guess, like, I hope she keeps him in line.
They usually
do. We
got
bigger problems if he's causing issues.
She often gets really mad at him because he'll just be kind of golden retriever vibes doing like kind of like la la la.
Yeah.
And then she's like, Jared, Jared. And it's like, hey, let Jared be bad at Pilates.
Yeah.
I think that's kind of hot.
Well,
I think
yeah.
it's cool.
Cool that he's trying.
Yeah. I feel like there's plenty of guys who are probably like, babe, I'm not doing that stuff. I'm not doing that girly stuff.
Yeah.
You know? So
yeah.
it's nice that a guy feels strong enough about his masculinity to get in there.
I know.
How do they feel about gay men there?
Wait, well, okay, this is the other, not that I'm never happy.
Girls
but, because then sometimes people are like, oh, we're not talking about gay guys, girls and gays. But that also feels like reductive. Like, I don't like girls and gays.
I know, I kind of hate when people are like, girls, gays, and theys.
We're anti that.
What are we talking about? Well, at the end of the day, it's like, why do we keep putting ourselves in boxes?
Like, it still feels reductive.
Liberation will not happen by continuing to put ourselves in boxes.
I know. Girls and gays somehow feels demeaning to everyone involved.
Yeah.
Like, all of us. It's just, we won't be free until we get rid of girls and gays, is what I'm saying. No.
Connor says, on Boys Club Podcast, we must get rid of all girls and gays.
It should be like, hot biches who are literate rise up. Like, that's it. Hot aware biches. And
sure,
that's it.
Sure, yeah.
Hot aware hab.
Hab. Like
hot
wear beaches. Yeah.
I don't think that'll take off. It's not catchy, but we'll work
so.
On
it. No, in fact, I'd be shocked if it did. But.
It's a great sloppy copy. Do you have a sloppy copy?
Yeah.
That's true.
Girls and Gays is like just like succinct, I
yeah.
guess.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
it
yeah.
captures more of an idea, but I agree that it can feel reductive. It can.
But sometimes to rise in this town, you need to be reduced. I think that's also true. It's like you need to be like open to reduction.
Connor says if you are not ready to make yourself a commodity, you need to get real.
Be like, whatever box you have there, if it's got a check in it, I'll fit into it. Like, I'll be whatever you need me to be.
I just got done saying we should not be boxing ourselves and you said make it smaller.
I think we remembered like industry and like of it all and like
capitalism, etc.
Yeah. That we're here to
yeah
make moves.
Do you don't think you'd go back to Asana?
No, I would
wait, was it a day pass?
Yes.
Okay, can I ask how much money it was?
Well, it was covered. It was covered by her wellness.
I think when
that's
I,
really
it's,
refreshing.
It's like $50, $50 cover for a day pass.
Yeah, it's really not that bad. I think if you pay for like massage and stuff, it's a little bit more. But I think just to like hang out in the various like steam room saunas and pools, I think it's not that bad. Actually,
I'm so intrigued by that. It feels like a Renaissance fair of types, but where you just go for the day and see
like,
all the things.
It's an immersive exhibit. I would say.
When I was there too, I was also like. Like, this used to be something where, like, because obviously now showers are private because we have plumbing in our homes. But, like, there was a time where everybody went to the bathhouse to bathe and socialize. Mm-hmm. And it's like, what a weird, different world it would be if we all met up to take a shower. Like, you know
no,
what I
for
mean?
Sure.
That sounds awesome.
And, like, be like, who's going to the bath? I don't know. Like, that would be such an that would
yeah.
be such a different, I don't know.
I get really anxious in the sauna. Whenever I'm in the sauna, I have to count to 100 to keep myself calm and look straight ahead. And then I worry that people think I'm looking at them, but I'm like literally not. I'm just like trying to get heat, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I'm trying to like feel something. But then you're also like, bud, we're going to jerk off. I'm there. You know what I mean? So it's like, you got to keep your options open.
That was the hardest part for me of being a man alone in the sauna was like, where do I look?
No, for sure.
Not look like a creep right now, I guess.
And then you have
legs.
To be like you're totally chill. Like you're just like, and you're like, heads on your thing. You're like, running your hands through your hair. Like, oh, I'm chill. But in your brain, you're like, 75, 76, 77, 78. It's awful.
You're so right, though. It does feel like a panic attack.
Yeah,
coming
like
on.
My head was throbbing.
Yeah.
It was extremely unpleasant. I was very aware of how far away from the door I was the entire
oh,
time.
Oh, sure.
I was
yes.
in there.
Did you see Hocus Pocus? Remember when they're locked in that room that burns up in that school?
No, I kind of don't remember that.
Cut it. Cut it from the pod. It's really jarring.
That's also when I was there, it was like the various like levels you set, like the higher up you were on like the little like I don't know, like seating, like the hotter it was. And I was like, who the fuck's getting at the top?
How
like,
many
I
levels can, were there
like three?
Oh,
and I was at the bottom. I was
it's like a
not.
Coliseum in there.
Yeah,
yeah. It's a lot like the call is in there.
People
and,
die.
And I also, I kept standing in like the wrong spot where the heat like really comes out.
Sure.
Like where it's like actually agonizing to stand there and like there is not supposed to be a human body there.
Yeah.
But there isn't any signage of like, don't stand here. And I was, I stood there for like 5 seconds and because I was questioning my sanity a bit because I'm like, okay, everyone's in here. This, it's a steam room. It's supposed to be hot. But then I'm like, ow, ow.
Yeah,
and
100 degree steam coming at you.
I'm like being welted.
No, totally.
But then I figured out I was standing in the wrong spot.
There's that thing where people walk across hot coals for is that a mindful activity?
I've never seen anybody do that in person. I know that they did a version of that on The Office for like one episode. They've like run.
They did
the
on Survivor, which the point is to be miserable. Actually, so maybe that was why.
I think it's like to mind over matter while you're like. Feet are burning up.
Oh, I hate that.
What if you just, instead of doing that, didn't?
Yeah, totally.
And what if instead of doing that, you just like wrote down three things you're grateful for?
Literally, like read a poem. Yeah. Read a poem.
Like I'm at the sauna. Like, why am I not like knitting on a park bench?
Yeah.
This is intense. But that's the thing. Type two fun. Type two fun. You hear of this?
No. Mm-hmm. What's that?
Type two fun is when it's an enjoyable experience, but it's kind of grueling to do it. I would call stand-up type 2 fun.
Yeah.
Spin class is type 2 fun.
Spin class is type 2 fun.
Yeah, like any working out probably would consider.
A family vacation sometimes can be
No, sure.
No, every family vacation is type 2 fun.
Reading a book is type 2 fun.
It is a mixture.
Going for a run is type 2 fun.
Yeah.
Wait, what's a family vacation?
Is a great example of time too fun. It's like it's like you're grateful to be there. You're happy to be on like a trip that's maybe paid for, but you're also like, why am I getting in a fight with my dad every day?
Yeah,
over the
like,
directions.
Why am I acting 14 and I can't stop?
Dude, have either of you seen that TikTok? I don't even know the original, but the sound is like, what do you mean? I'm an adult. I shouldn't be fighting like this. Like I take a breath, and I was like, that was me. I feel like every time I go home, some part of me, it's that same thing of like. Whatever cough syrup invoked in you, it's like being at home invokes in me.
Impotence.
Yes.
And it's like, impotence. Yes. Being at home also makes me quite impotent.
That's
I would
a callback.
But like, you know what I mean? And
yes.
It brings out the 14-year-old version of myself. It's so crazy.
The regression is completely unmanageable around family. I have two of the nicest, coolest parents I could possibly have. I could not be more frustrating around them. I am
sure.
So like when my parents came and stayed with me for a couple days recently, which was really adorable and also, you know, very very adult to like have my parents come and like I like do up my apartment all nice for them and I host them. That felt great. And then at one point my mom said something just kind of like momming me, you know, just like being a mom momming me. And I don't remember exactly what I said, but I was so nasty and teenager. And then it was quiet for a second, and then I was like, so I realized my tone was unacceptable just now.
No, there's nothing, because now you have the self-awareness. You have the skills.
And she was like, yes.
It's worse. It's like you have the worst part of being a teenager, which is the feeling, and then the worst part of being an adult, which is knowing how shameful that was. Like,
no.
You don't even have the, like, lack of, like, wherewithal. The teenager has to be like, I was right.
Yeah. Or to be like, fuck it, I don't care about your feelings, Mom.
No, totally.
When it's like, as an adult,
so much about your feelings.
I know.
You've given me everything.
Literally.
Like, I was really rude to my dad, and then what I had to apologize and be like, I know that I'm rude to him like that because I know that he won't leave. And that it's like, I am testing you. I'm testing him to see how long he'll stay.
I was thinking about that when I spent time with my family before the holidays recently. I was like, I was talking about it with them, with my parents. I was like, I wonder if I get so bitchy with you guys because I'm curious about the capacity that I can reach of bitchiness with the people that I know will love me unconditionally.
Totally.
And they're like, do you want to like watch a movie?
They're like, we're going to throw Elf on if you're cool.
We watched Elf. We literally watched Elf that day. Elf
That's
fixes
so...
a lot.
Yeah, it's such a, happy-go-lucky movie.
It really is.
Yeah.
That's beautiful. But then everyone else, you're like, oh my God, it's like, are you scared they'll leave? So you're walking on eggshells with them and then you're not ever being your true self.
It's a question to ask yourself, but I don't think my true self is rude and bitchy.
Insufferable.
I feel very guilty when
totally.
I act like that.
Because it's like, it's just like this, it's just this old flare up of like a past, like the last time your mom talked to you like that, that's how you respond. You're like, oh fuck, that's not what I meant to do.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I also like on the flip side of this, Something I've been thinking about a lot, and I've actually been trying to write some material about this, is like, so I've been trying to get my parents to do therapy for a while, and they've been like kind of lightly sort of trying to do that, but not really, and like kind of whatever. But I've been in therapy for 3 going on 4 years now, and I was like, if you guys don't get in therapy soon, I'm gonna wipe the fucking floor with you in every conversation we ever have. Like, you guys are just so out of your depths now. Like, I am actualizing, okay?
Do you want them to do together therapy or separate therapy?
I mean, if they, I always I'm sure for I mean, they've been married for 30 years, so I'm sure there's plenty that they could talk about together. And especially with kids, like, I bet it's helpful to like be able to talk about some stuff together in therapy, but I think everybody should be in a version of their own thing too.
I know my therapist said on Monday, he said, do you want to meet blah blah blah, and I said, oh, I'll text you my avails tomorrow, and then I didn't, and I waited 3 days and he still hasn't. I'm waiting for him to follow up and he hasn't, and it's like, okay, you're obsessed
with
me.
Well, you know he's
you're
working part time.
Yes.
Another person who can't leave him.
You're playing a game of cat and mouse with your therapist.
And I just left my gym because he works at my gym, but I'm not going to that gym anymore because I'm going to another gym because I didn't want to work at his out. I didn't want to go to a sex gym anymore. I want to go to a happy gym where there's a rock climbing wall. Wait. And kids and moms and parents.
Your therapist goes to a sex gym?
My therapist works at my gym, but I left that gym. He works at Equinox. He got a second job because I was only paying him $80 of my dad's money, and that was not enough.
Are you his only client?
No. Because one time I saw a cis white gay guy leaving when I got there, and then when I left, I saw a cis white gay guy coming.
It's just a revolving door of gay men.
A revolving, yeah. Cis white gay
guys. But not enough for full time, apparently.
Just enough to need a second job.
Yeah.
He's in school.
Whoa. He's balancing a lot.
Yeah.
So when he says to do the work, I know he is too, because he's getting a master or getting whatever, a certificate, really. Like, whatever he needs to therapize, he's getting that.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we'll find you somebody who doesn't have a part-time job, I think.
I know. And I feel like therapy
is one of those things that you really want somebody who's fully dedicated to the craft.
No,
not
totally.
That he's not,
no,
but,
no, totally. Yeah. And like,
it's so hard to find a good
person. He doesn't get insurance. Like, he doesn't understand insurance because, like, my insurance is so bad.
That's
but he's like,
he's going to have to get a hold of.
No, for sure. He's like, I'm going to this thing and they're going to take all the insurance. Send me your insurance card. And I was like, I'm telling you, they're not taking mine. Like, I'm telling you that I know my insurance and it is not going to cover mental health. But like, what? He's like, no, send me the card. It'll be a $15 copay.
The card is like a Sheetz gift card.
Literally. It's like, bro, like, this will literally,
you've
like,
got Wawa therapy.
No, exactly. Like, more or less. So this man, he doesn't understand. He's about to have a rude awakening. And I feel, yeah.
Yeah.
So
it's
he
just
might
like
break up with me.
A pocket full of drink tickets for you.
It really feels that way. I was like, done dirty by
some
New York
dusty drink tickets that have been through the wash 7 times. Yeah.
This is that weird drink ticket they give you at Caveat.
This is the one that looks like a baseball card they give out somewhere.
Can I get my teeth cleaned now?
It is so confusing.
They're like, man, we don't take that. We don't take drink tickets.
I'm like, that's fair enough. I'm on cough syrup.
Yeah.
Wait, whisper.
26. Okay. Totally. I'm turning 26 in a week.
Do you have to get your own insurance then? So
I already
to ask
figured it
that.
Out.
Good for you.
I got
You're
incredible. Free well health done. Insurance. Got
Fuck
it.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. Through New York State.
Mm-hmm.
Hell yeah.
Pretty easy.
Yeah. If you like, unfortunately, what sucks about getting health insurance, which I found out when I turned 26 and had to do that myself, I was like, why is there nowhere online I can fill anything out? Like, why do I have to call someone? Like, it's so fucking confusing. Thankfully, when you get on the phone with somebody, usually somebody can help you out. But
yes, Martha,
it's that, so difficult.
This to anyone who is about to turn 26, don't try and do it online. Don't try and do it on the phone. Get a broker that is given to you for free by the state.
Yeah.
You just give them information on the phone. They're busy. They don't want to talk to you very long. And then they're like, okay, that. Okay, great. Yeah, you'll get your card in the mail in like a week.
Yeah. The guy I talked to was like very straightforward and helpful. Yes. I was like, where have you been all my life? I have like, I've been fucking, because I also like made the mistake of putting my phone number in like certain of these like portals. Did you do this and get a bazillion calls?
So many calls. My
phone is still permanently on Do Not Disturb because of this experience.
Yeah.
Because I would get so many robocalls about insurance. I like to this day still do. It's been over a year.
It's insurance. It's anytime you're moving. Movers love to, they'll hit you up forever until you die. I have movers from Chicago being like,
well, they know
are
in
you
the
moving?
City people are moving every month. Like, always.
They're obsessed. Don't give those people your number. Really anyone. Orange Theory in Philadelphia keeps calling me, and it's like,
oh,
I never want to go there.
I feel that in this podcast episode alone, you have named every single popular gym franchise.
Wait, I'm embarrassed.
No.
Barry's Boot Camp.
Yeah. Planet Fitness. Anything else? Wait. You know what's one that always still texts me that maybe one of you will know of? Has either of you ever heard of the? It's like I don't know what they do during the year, but during Halloween it's called Spooky Woods. It's in like.
Yes.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
In North Carolina.
Spooky, yes.
Wait, shut up.
I get their texts every October.
I unsubscribed last year, and it actually like I unsubscribed and like looked off into the distance, like I'm like. I'm done now.
Wait, this is important. I
Spooky
swear.
Woods can't so funny. I get them every year since like literally since like probably like 2015 or 16 since I first went to one in college, and I still get them, and I'm always like sometimes my friends and I from school will be like, anybody getting these Spooky Woods texts? Like, still,
I'll be going about my day in July,
literally,
and it's like, hey Julia, 30% off Spooky Woods, spookier than ever this season. Haunted Hayride, get your tickets now.
I'm like, first of all, why are you selling them so early? And there's just like, there's nothing else like it in a, you know, 100-mile radius, it seems. Yeah. I'm like, you're going to get everybody's business.
Yeah.
Like, we had to travel 30 minutes to find a haunted house. Like,
okay, Kersey Valley Spooky Woods.
Yes!
Wait, look close at the picture.
Scariest part is going to be that guy right there.
Do I look younger? No.
You don't look entirely different.
Really?
Yeah, no.
That was like 11 years ago.
Are you sober yet here?
Not permanently.
Well, actually, you know, there's two scary parts of this photo to me. First, we're going to go here for the tan, but then we're also going to go down here to the roll of the pant. And that is a second thing that I am loving.
Whoa, the roll of the pant with the...
with the Sperry topsiders.
The no-show socks. Or were you just free-balling in the socks?
There were no socks at all.
No socks
which
at
was
all.
Really my feet bled. But like I, these two people, I introduced them kind of. And then, no! Ow! 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 Wait, which is also great with the... Wait, also... Good night, Brooklyn baby, kind of foreshadowing in a sense. Do you know what I mean?
Wait, I want to go up to another one. Not that one. Is this you?
That's me.
That's
fourth
you?
Grade. Yeah, in fourth grade.
Does not look like you.
Yeah, and that's when I would just like rent a car and drive. But those two people, I introduced them sort of, and then they're now married. And I saw them in the Wegmans.
They got
in
engaged.
Astor place.
Ones.
Yeah.
She was 30% off engagements and weddings this year at Spooky Woods.
She was a dancer for Orlando Magic.
And an outdoor wedding.
What is Spooky Woods for the rest of the year? They just chill?
I think they do like paintball and some other like stuff like that. That's like outdoor because it's like a big like farm basically.
It turns into a TD Bank.
Spooky Woods is really an example of a thing that you described earlier where it's like is that type 2 fun?
Yeah.
Haunted house is type 2 fun.
So.
Yeah.
And like the there's beauty in the survival of something where it's like you're going to survive this and be better for it.
I prefer type 2 fun. I have this like this lesson I refuse to learn in my life where I love to go do something as a bit.
Mm.
But then you get there and in the bit of doing something ironically, you're actually just at that thing.
Sure.
Totally.
You know, like I went to Jimmy Fallon's Tonightmares.
Is that what is that?
They had like ads for it all over. It was like was it,
it
like
was an experience?
It was a haunted house experience.
In Midtown?
Yes.
Oh no.
Was it any good?
It was kind of cool, but you have to wait like an hour and a half to get in. It's expensive. You're giving money to Jimmy Fallon.
Sure.
But and the Tonight Show and the NBC. Tonight Show.
Yeah, wait, how much like, money? I keep asking you financial questions.
It was, I had a coupon code and it was $40.
Okay.
Jesus, that's expensive. Yeah.
Yes, but I prioritize type 2 fun in my life.
No,
fair,
I get
yeah.
it. Wait, like, what's type 1 fun?
Would you consider a type 2 fun, would you consider a tattoo type 1, or sorry, type 2 fun?
Probably
because it hurts. I mean, some people like the experience of getting it. Personally, that's my least favorite part, and then I like it when it's on afterwards. So that for me feels like type 2 fun because the whole time I'm getting it, I'm like, ow, 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 ow.
I agree. Yeah.
I like the experience of getting it. There's something that's like, I only have two. I got them back to back days when I was 21 and lived in Baltimore for the summer.
What are they?
Okay, so I have a moon and three stars on my shoulder. I don't know why, but it almost looks like the Pakistan flag, which I think is amazing.
Wow.
And I just don't know enough about international relations. So then I like moved one star over like right before like going back, like going in and then whatever, because you just never know what happened. And then down here I have a quote from Jack Kerouac's book.
On the Road?
Yes. Did you read that?
Yeah.
Wait, it says burn, burn, burn. Not Ellie Goulding. I know that's really white guy of me.
Well,
which is kind of cool.
Yeah.
Like that I'm doing it. Like,
yeah.
Subversive. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Feels like. Nobody feels that you're going to have a Jack Kerouac tattoo.
People don't think that.
Yeah.
Jack Kerouac's a gay guy, right?
I think he's queer. I think, like, for, like, or like, fruity.
Yeah.
I mean, like, I feel like he and Neil Cassidy were kissing.
Yeah,
don't
yeah,
you
yeah.
think so?
Yeah, I think like all those guys were gay.
Yeah,
I think there's a lot more gay men in history than it would lead on.
No, so Jack Kerouac is loosely connected to the guy that wrote Queer, William S. Burroughs, because they were like in the same cohort.
Oh, interesting.
Mm-hmm. The same group.
Well,
yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
There you go.
Very gay. Allen Ginsberg.
Yeah.
Gay
yeah,
as hell. Fruit Loop Island. Like, my God. I saw the best minds of my generation destroyed by madness, starving, wandering the Negro streets at dawn, looking for a fix. That you can, is in the context of the poem, you can use that. But anyway.
Your voice.
Really?
That
it's
was
gay.
Like, I liked it.
Yeah.
Shut up, no way.
There yeah, was like a nice, was, like, grovelly tenor to it.
It felt like my vision went black, and I felt like it was the beginning of a film, a
we
noir
should do a play.
and you were the narrator.
Thank you for saying that. Kind You're of welcome. Like, what's that thing where they're like, the aliens are coming? War of the Worlds.
War of the Worlds. Mm-hmm. That movie rocked
the
me.
Dakota Fanning one?
Yes, I was obsessed with it when I was younger.
She's been working a long time.
I know.
She's still like in the mix right now.
She yeah. is. She was at the Golden Globes.
Was yeah. she in that movie Watchers, or was it someone that looked like her? Mm. I saw the trailer approximately 15 times, still...
For a
Didn't
second,
retain,
I thought you
no.
meant that thing that was on Netflix with Jennifer Coolidge. That was 8 episodes.
Oh,
do you remember
my,
that?
Yes, it was so treacherously bad. I wanted
yeah,
to like it.
But it was thrilling and I couldn't turn it off. But
what
it
was it?
Pretty bad. The Watchers? The Watchmen?
I think it was called
The Watchers.
Watcher.
The,
and
yeah.
then there's that M. Night Shyamalan. Is it M. Night Shyamalan?
There's a new one that M. Night Shyamalan's kid did that he like
oh
produced,
God.
But the director was like his kid.
He's been, I didn't realize he was around to have a kid.
He did Trap, right?
Yeah, and
and then his daughter was the star in Trap, like the singer.
I think so.
Don't you feel like it's interesting that, like, I don't know what your parents do. Mm. I know what your parents do, and it's really cool. But, like, I don't know that our parents, from what I can tell, are doing anything where we're like, we've got to do that, you know?
yeah,
so,
yeah, yeah,
aren't
yeah,
it lucky
yeah.
that our dads aren't, like, filmmakers? Like,
yeah.
Then it's, like, be like, okay, second, like, what a first thought idea to just go make a movie.
Yeah.
Whereas when we do it, it's novel.
I know. I'm always, you know, obviously, like, within the Nepo Baby conversations and whatever, which is, like, whatever but is what it is, I guess. But, like, I'm always interested, like, by people who, yeah, who, like... Because I feel like there's a rebellious streak in every child that's like, I'm not going to do what my parents do.
Yeah.
But I guess not for, I mean, maybe.
Not
if,
for Gracie Abrams.
Maybe when you look
Oh, well, that's different.
Fair, well, I, you know, she used
She didn't make Lost. She didn't make Lost, you're right.
That's true, that's true.
Her dad's J.J. Abrams.
She's going to make Found.
Exactly.
The opposite, Found. Should we do our, thank you, Jackson. Should we do our
What's
last
a voice
question?
Club you want to see in this world?
Okay, I have an idea. And it kind of ties into what we were just talking about. These have all come about very naturally. I appreciate
Oh, good.
That.
I love that.
So a boys club that I would love to invent, and I actually don't know if this fits the prompt, but this is something I want to be true. This is a community I want, is when you go see a movie by yourself and there are other people in the theater who are seeing that movie by themselves, you all get together afterwards and go get dinner.
Oh, that's beautiful.
I love
Wouldn't
that.
Wouldn't that be awesome?
Yeah. Because there's something really hot about someone that goes and sees a movie by themselves.
Well, I just did that for the first time the other day.
Ever?
Yes.
What movie?
Nosferatu.
That's awesome.
Was someone sitting next to you?
I think so, because it was like a full theater. But I'm with you. Even if it was like afterwards dinner, but also like I wonder if there was like a way to be like, this is the single seaters area.
Like.
So you're like sitting with people.
Yeah. That just... To be able to talk after the movie,
yeah.
sure.
people who also wanted to go see that movie under the circumstances of being alone.
Sure. No, completely.
Like,
yeah.
I just feel like that's such an interesting group of things to have in common with someone.
Yeah.
I feel really. Shame associated with seeing a movie alone, but I wouldn't.
You do it all the time.
I know. it's
like you feel a lot of shame for an activity you do frequently.
Like I try to like make the person to my left think that I'm with the person to my right and make the person to my right think I'm with the person to my left. And then I try to run out of the theater
and they're
before
both like, why is this guy talking to us?
And then when the chicken sandwich guy comes along, you're like, no, thank you. And then like, you just like don't want to be perceived. But it's like, hey, be alone at the movies.
You go see movies by yourself at Alamo Drafthouse, a place you hate.
I have Draft House Pass, which is where, here's the thing, you get to go every day, but they charge you $2 every time you go on top of the 30 that you spent for the pass. Pass my ass. Like, that's not really a pass.
Pass my ass.
Because then if you actually went every day.
You have a pass to go somewhere you hate to do something that makes you feel shame.
It was, yeah.
And you have a pass so that you can do it every day of the month.
I no longer do, but I did for a while. And I saw, that's how I saw Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind.
Whoa.
And Ferrari. I had it like last winter.
Had you ever seen that before?
No, I loved
so
it.
So good.
Eternal Sunshine, you saw that?
I've seen that. I saw that a long time ago.
Oh my God. We should do Boys Club Movie Club.
Yeah.
Where we, a film pick called Reese Witherspoon Movie Club. And that's the first
and
one.
It's no film she's in.
No.
Except for Wild.
Like, even that. It's like, know, that's a lot.
I know.
There's the one part where they take the mom's eyes out and they're like, we got her. Oh, it's just like, I can't watch that.
Oh yeah, that part's tough.
It's really jarring. But we could put, I think the funniest line in all of cinema is when she says, Werner, I totally forgot you go here. So like that
would Legally Blonde.
Yes. Yeah.
No, actually Legally Blonde would be her one film I would put on there.
Werner, I totally forgot you go here.
Yeah.
It's like so funny.
That's such a classic. I love that movie. Yeah, so I saw Nosferatu by myself. It would be nice. I also think it would be like the type of thing, because there's probably plenty of people, like, you know, maybe there's like closeted gay people who went and saw Queer and like, or like didn't have somebody to go see that with, and then they could meet somebody afterwards that like also didn't have anybody to go see it with.
It's interesting to know the reason that someone is at a movie alone. And a lot of time it's just by choice. I actually ran into, do you guys know Chase Hoffman?
Yeah,
Chase and I ran into each other. We both were at I Saw the TV Glow. We were in the same screening of I Saw the TV Glow on a Friday night, just going by ourselves separately. And like, I feel like we've always had kind of a bond about that.
Yeah.
You know? That's kind sweet. Of a very like vulnerable, intimate thing to have in common with a person. And I just think it'd be really interesting if we were forced to explore that with strangers.
Yeah.
One time I was at, you never been to Fire Island?
I haven't.
You know, you can skip it. But one time I was leaving. Yeah, honestly. If, unless you want to go, you can go with us. Every year we do a whole trip, but we haven't yet. But we talk about it.
I would give anything.
We would. Oh, wait, we would love to have you on our trip.
Every year you talk about going on
a trip. We think about it.
Every year we get about mid-June and we go, fuck, we forgot again.
I will make it happen.
Oh, my God. We just, that's what we need.
We need somebody. Also, I want to go to Cherry Grove to be
That's fair. Where we do it, yeah.
Oh, my God.
Well, they let
I
me in there.
I haven't heard the words Cherry Grove
ever with
since
you.
My sister was absolutely begging my parents to go for spring break like years and years and years.
Oh,
ago.
My gosh.
Yeah, we have to
wow,
go.
Wow, I'm amazed that she knew.
About Cherry
about
Grove.
Cherry Grove.
Wait, is there a different Cherry Grove? Where's
well,
this Cherry
Fire
Grove
Island.
Is on Fire Island. So this is a different Cherry Grove.
I was going to say, cause
it's like the lesbian part.
That's the lesbian part of Fire Island. I was like, wow, she's really ahead of her time to know this.
The Pines are the
area.
Gay part, and then the Cherry Grove is the lesbian part, and then this other part is for family, something to consider. Ocean View or something like that.
Because sometimes
for Kelly Ripa.
The kids I've coached at work before have been like, we're going to Fire Island this weekend. And I'm like, are you now?
Little Fruit Loops. But I was
going to Reese Beach.
But I walked out. I walked out of the Sip and Twirl and I was in complete hysterics. Not totally. And then, but I saw just standing there all by herself looking at the moon with Mariah Oxley. And I feel like we've been bonded from that ever since.
That's
there's
so
something
beautiful.
About just like you and one other person in this universe. And it's like, and then what you're bonded by is that you like just get on a microphone and talk to strangers. Like that's so crazy to begin with, and then to have like a little experience where the only ones is so beautiful. I'll kill myself.
Okay, did we lose power?
Wait, are you guys mad?
Oh, it's because the thing went out.
What thing?
We gotta play the
I'm so over this. I'm so over this. I'm so over having a podcast
out.
I think it's going swimmingly.
Here, let's do this. Okay, we'll have to do this for the last half.
We are bit. So sorry.
No,
no, this be. Lighting is humiliating. Not for you or you, but this is humiliating lighting.
I think it's going to be good. Yeah. I think this is nice.
I think it's nice.
There
it's,
are harsher lights
we
than
could
what
do
you
black
have.
And white for this part, maybe. Film
that
noir.
Would be cool.
Film noir.
That could be cool.
Yeah.
Interesting.
There's so much that you can do with the medium now that you've switched to a visual.
Exactly.
Sepia tones.
Exactly. And the
you
nice
guys
thing
should
about.
Put that photo booth filter that makes
yes.
your face all elongated.
Yes,
that could
the
be really fun.
Time we have like massive teeth and big eyes or something.
Dog filters.
Give it time.
Yeah.
I do feel like we're not using the visual medium as it was intended. Like I think we should be trying on little outfits and we should be doing like makeup routines and like things like that. Like I got like that acid that you put on your face in there. I could do that. Hyaluronic acid.
Yeah. We could take cough syrup next time and see
know.
How it goes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Have some lean before we get on
we could
the
give, yeah, this is really like the endless
this podcast is brought to you by lean.
It
two
is
parts
so
cough syrup,
scary.
Part Sprite.
With Sprite.
With Sprite.
Hard recommend. Don't do cough syrup.
Hard recommend.
And don't buy the cough suppressant on Amazon that just says cough in big letters. Did you ever see that?
Amazon, when I last, because I sometimes I order my needles I use to inject testosterone on Amazon, because sometimes the ones at CVS just like take too long, whatever. Or they give me the wrong ones all the time, so I just order my own because they're not that expensive. But they now have like Prime Medicine.
Yeah.
And it's all that. It's like the Prime.
Yeah, they entered the pharma, the pharma world.
It's like generic. I know it's no different than the generic brand, but something about like Amazon cough. I'm like, no, 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 no.
Amazon prep.
No, Amazon.
Not Amazon prep.
Jeff Bezos supporting our strongest troops.
Taking an Amazon ibuprofen, like, I might as well swallow a flash drive. Like, yeah. There is something about that that is so unnatural and dystopian to me.
Literally.
Like, I am letting you into, I'm letting the system into my body.
Yeah, this one is Amazon cough syrup. Oop. All microplastics.
It is bad, but they come really fast and they come 100% of the time. And if they get stolen or you just want another, then they'll send you another one. You know what I mean?
That is the one benefit of Amazon. They will just send it to
you.
They'll
just send it back. They'll just send you a new one. You say, oh, someone took that. And then they send you more. And like, that's like, I have to like support small business, but when a small business is going to give you another one for free, you know?
Yeah.
So it's tough.
That's the tough part about Amazon.
The government should subsidize small businesses to give us all a second one for free. And then they could compete. Because right now it's going to be hard.
Totally.
That's my policy proposal. Thank you for
That's very
watching.
Good. Yeah, I saw Nosferatu by myself, and I was feeling a bit of shame being alone at the movies.
No, totally.
But I think it was just because I was like, in my head about same thing about being like, oh, people are going to think I'm a loser here by myself.
Or worse.
But so many people go to the movies by themselves.
Yeah, well, when you see someone at the movies by themselves, do you think, oh, that's sad. Like, what a loser.
No.
I think they're armed. Like, that's like my, it crosses your mind.
Yeah, that's the
other
thing.
That they're an armed person, and that's scary.
Maybe I don't worry about it because I'm not a man, and like, people wouldn't assume I have a gun the way
they
might assume.
Yeah, you don't fit the profile.
Yeah, yeah.
People are going to assume you have a gun.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe not you.
No chicken sandwich.
They take one look at you saying no chicken sandwich, and you're like, okay, yeah, he doesn't have a gun.
They're like, we're going to actually live through Baby Girl Day.
It also, because I didn't think about the movie, too. Like, it's like, if you're seeing Joker, that's like...
That's weird to go see by yourself,
if you're
certainly.
Seeing Simon Tells a Lot. What's that movie with Simon? Love, Simon.
Love, Simon.
Maybe not.
Yeah.
Like, maybe also at the same time. So, like, it is kind of like, what's the least controversial movie? And it might be Baby Girl.
Yeah.
To see by yourself.
That no one would feel the need to... I mean, then again, women's liberation is bad, and it's like a sex-positive movie, so who knows? Those people are always mad about something, but... Yeah.
That's true. I don't know. Worst movie to see by yourself?
Did you see Anora?
I haven't yet.
It was so good.
It's good. I really like that one.
It.
I like The Brutalist. I've seen a lot of movies recently.
I haven't seen anything. I have to see The Brutalist. I have to see Baby Girl. I have to see Nosferatu. And I have to see something else. I have to see that thing with that guy, Timothée Chalamet.
Oh, A Complete Unknown? See that. That's probably a movie I'll end up seeing
A Complete
by myself.
Unknown.
That would be one I would say would be a good one to see. That's a good, like, alone movie. I
love doing anything by myself.
Yeah.
I think it's so fun.
I'm trying to be better about stuff like that. You actually are somebody who inspired me to see a movie by myself because you do it so often. And I was like, I can go to the movies by myself. Connor
knows this.
You're
so funny because sometimes you say these things to me that are sweet, but I'm also like, okay. Like, when you're like, oh, you always do this by yourself, or you're so good at dating. And it's like, yeah, I'm good at arranging dates. But I'm not good at, and it's kind of like, okay, just drag me to hell.
No, because there's so many people who, like, never have the courage to, like, even go beyond, like, the app or, like,
totally.
Don't set up the dates or whatever.
Totally.
And that is something you're good about. Like, you don't have a lot of hesitation about that first step, which is laudable.
No, for sure. I'm not afraid to do that. But also, like, one
time... I'm not going, this guy can't find anybody, but he's really good at dating.
Connor, it's so cool how you can't find anyone to go to the movies with, and you can't.
Yet you're so good at dating.
I also would never go to the movies on a date, because then the whole time you'd be like, are we supposed to touch or not? And I don't want to, but I don't want you to think I'm disinterested, but I'm watching a movie right
What's
now.
What's the point in going to the movies on a date?
That's insane.
That was the first date I ever went on with a girl was in college. We went to see Ocean's 8, and... We were in a theater that had massive seats, so we were so far from each other that it was like, it took the option from us, because it was going to be
so
like,
funny.
Hey, like, let's hold hands. Like, it was like, that's not going to happen. I was just like, this.
And you're like, how you doing?
We never touched. We never saw each other again.
Oh, and you went to the same school?
Yeah,
no.
Well, so I saw her again, but we didn't see each other again.
Sure. Oh, that makes total sense.
I gave this speech.
You're like, not literally, dumbass.
She died that
day. She never made it back from Ocean's 8.
Choked on her chicken sandwich at the Alamo Draft House. I was too far away to help.
What if AMC gets a hold of an oven and then we have to, and then we're subjected to chicken sandwiches at the AMC? That would be awful.
They have chicken fingers at Regal Essex.
Wow.
Chicken finger feels more. If it's anything you could get before you go in the theater, it just can't be something you're ordering midway through the movie. I just don't understand that.
Yeah, that's no good.
But
I just think there's something wacky. This is not food shaming, and I don't mean for it to be, but it already feels like it might be. I just think it's crazy to like go see a 2.5 hour movie and you just like eat the entree in the first minute that you're there, and then you just sit and it's just like I'm taking a nap. Like that's not what I need to get revved up. Yeah. Like I think we should be doing like up and downs at the beginning. Like get me excited to be here.
I went to Alamo Draft House to see Saturday Night, the SNL movie, because my friend was in it. So I was sitting next to him in the movie, and I ordered a pulled pork sandwich that I ate during the movie, and I was like, I completely understand why people do. You know what I did? I ordered a pulled pork sandwich and a Negroni, and it was a stunning, blinding combination of indulgence.
Yeah. Well, the nice thing about a pulled pork sandwich is that's a soft chew. You know?
Are you critical of pulled pork because of North Carolina roots?
I'm not critical. I appreciate I feel the same way about it that I do about like pizza, I guess.
Yeah.
I appreciate any
that it's been done.
I like what it is. Yeah. But I also don't eat it that often.
Yeah. I feel like in Philadelphia we're like huge on soft pretzels. We're like kind of soft pretzel capital of the world.
Yes.
Also Philly cheesesteak.
And I know. I feel like I haven't engaged with that culture as much.
They're so good.
I know. I'm gonna talk about
a food that'll have you having a nap afterwards. I'm gonna cheese. Yeah.
I know. That's like their whole thing. Cause there's the Pats and there's the Geno's and there's blah, 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 but also soft pretzels. Like in grade school, we'd always have soft pretzels every day at 10:30 if you brought 50 cents.
Whoa. Which,
yeah,
what?
And they bring you a soft pretzel.
They were charging you 50 cents for a soft pretzel. That feels like 25 max.
Well, one time I went up to 65.
For a child.
I went up to 65. Yeah, I'm serious. They were just fucking shaking
you
dry.
I can't imagine. Like
finding 15 cents.
It's crazy to me that kids have to pay for lunch ever, period. Like,
I know.
So psycho. But like, I've always found that to be so strange that like, because when we had like an ice cream thing that would come by at lunch every Friday, and it was only like if your parents gave you money, and it was like, why would you introduce this type of shame to kids?
Yeah.
You know?
Also, like, I just think I'm pro parent choice, I guess, but it's just like, if you have an issue, you can homeschool your kids. We're giving them ice cream here.
Yeah.
Like, you can keep them home, but we're going to be giving them ice cream. Yeah. Relax. Those are the same parents that don't want the kids to know about gay.
Yeah.
Kids should be at school. They should learn what gay is. And also,
with an
ice cream fucking cone in their hand. Bring that back. Like, that's literally Betsy DeVos. Get up.
Totally.
Like, that's what we need.
Yeah, seriously. Well, Julia, thank you so much for doing the podcast.
Thank you for doing this podcast.
Thank you
for being here. What a dream get. We've been wanting to have you on for so long, so thanks for coming by. Do you want to tell anybody watching where you are on socials or what you got coming up?
Sure. You can follow me at my name, Julia_Desmond, and I sell clothes. And I like making them, so it would be cool if you wanted to buy some.
Yeah, and cannot understate how sick all the pieces are. Very similar to these.
Do you have a website for that?
Cool.
I'm working on it.
No. Cut that. We're gonna link to whatever you have in the thing.
my half baked website.
Yeah.
JuliaDesmond.com. Click on this in a long time. We like come back to circle back
eventually,
to this.
Eventually, yeah. Come back when that link is hot. You know that something's happened. All right. Well, boys, we'll see you next week.